So here we are, 3 minutes early on the radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. And I welcome all those people that are joining in early online. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. And we have people, quite a few people, on the line already. Every time you hear a ding, that's somebody else joining in. Thank you for being here.
Hi, has anyone offered the idea of putting a discussion board on the one of Wynn's websites?
You're talking about, the team shift. Good. We had another caller join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss, everybody.
Good evening Don. For being here.
Thanks.
And another caller joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hello, everybody.
All right. And somebody else came in after you. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
RLK, Aurora Seco, New Mexico.
All right, RLK. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here. And I saw another line come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm just trying to stay awake tonight.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's
the
time difference.
Let's see. Did we have somebody else join in? I believe so. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. And somebody else came in after Chris. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan here.
Good evening, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thanks so much, Heiss.
Thank you so much for being here.
Percy, North Carolina.
Good evening to you, Percy, and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Right in Ventura.
Steve from West. Oh, I'm sorry.
I hear Steve, believe it or not, from West Palm Beach, and I hear Brian from Ventura.
Yes.
Welcome, Steve and Brian.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Gilbert in Florida.
Good evening to you, Gilbert, and welcome to the call.
Hi, Gilbert.
Thank you for being here. But back to you, Dharmananda. You asked.
Yeah, well, I don't have an echo in and out.
No, things are good. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Brian again. I hung up by accident.
All right, yes. you're calling
over
the
glad to have you back.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Is Jim from Sedona?
It is. How did you ever know? You're a mystic. How did you ever know that?
It's James Ray. Must be you.
Heiss, you're the man.
Thanks for being here, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Hello.
And here we had somebody else joined in. We welcome you as well. Please say your name and location.
It's Carla in Medicine Hat.
Hey, Carla. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. How about you, Heiss?
Yes, great. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Hey, Heiss, on Coast to Coast the other night, somebody was talking about some psychic named Robert from Southern Holland. Do you know about that guy?
No.
Okay.
Regarding crop circles?
Crop circles and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I need to look into that. We have somebody else join in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great. Thanks, Heiss.
All right.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello. I was going to listen to Coast tonight, too. I heard it announced last night.
What's hey, Don, how do you stay up for Coast to Coast on the East Coast? It's on from 1 to 5 a.m.
Vin, jump in. I need to answer another call.
Sheer willpower.
No, you just get the app, and it's like $7 a month. It's super cheap.
Yeah.
And you can listen to it anytime you want. And you can skip the dull ones, too. It's like, oh, they're talking about hell. We'll skip that one.
Yeah, welcome to the call.
Hi, it's Lynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi,
hey,
hello.
It's
Terry here.
We have you.
It's Terry
Finn.
Where are you from?
Sedona.
Is this your first-time caller?
Yeah,
it's your
first-time caller.
Jerry, you're giving me a hard time. Where are you?
Any questions, Wynn?
Wynn, is that in Ohio?
Sedona?
Yeah, we sometimes have a Wynn call.
It's Winfrey, but he has a third name, and that's Oprah. Oprah
it's
Winfrey.
What? It's
how
what?
How did you hear about us?
Oprah Winfrey. Oh, Oprah. Well, now, that's a different story.
Do you know what Sedona spelled backwards is?
Oh, we'd have to spell it out.
What is anodes?
I don't know.
What?
You know what anodes is?
Oh, anode.
Who knows what an anode is?
You have to have a cathode.
It's an electrical connection.
It's a positive terminal.
There you go.
An anode is a positive terminal.
The real
anode. I heard it there.
Connection. Yeah.
Hey, Terry, how did you figure out how to unmute? What's going on?
Now it's hard to get in because there's so many people or something.
Welcome to the call, Terry. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Hi, Terry.
All right.
Nobody's ready, right? I can tell you're having a good time.
We're
I'm not
waiting with bated breath.
Go ahead, start the
recording. All right.
I'm ready.
And listen, all you guys on the internet, don't think we don't know you're there.
And I'm glad you're here. Well, turn over the things. All right.
Hey, hi.
What was that?
Are we muted?
We are. No, the dings are off. There are still more people joining in. I thank you all for being here. It is 6:05. I welcome all the people on BBS and Win. Here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
We are all muted. Okay. Do you notice that I don't have to do anything anymore? I just show up, and it's already happening. It's like, it used to be, you said, well, when's Wynn coming? Because everything starts to happen when Wynn comes. And, of course, I'm on the live, and I say, when's Terry coming? Come on, Terry, get unmuted. Everything happens when Terry comes. now it's like it's happening. Just we're holding the frequencies. And I came up with a really interesting idea today, so I'm going to ask a question.
Wynn, you're not recording yet.
Okay. Oh, we're not recording yet? Oh, no. Thank you.
This conference is being recorded.
Well, I can't get profound unless we're recording, right? So it's January 21st, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and all of you everywhere else in thank you for being here. And this is the night that you have submitted questions, and we're going to ask your questions. We're getting, I say the quality of our questions has gone up, but it's okay. I was just going to say that we used to get all these questions about should I love Barbara or should I love Mary. And of course, just as I said that, says, let's see, I got a question from somebody that says, well, I've been dating somebody for about 6 months. Peter, we must be on the same wavelength. And he says, hope it's not a dumb question. You know what? I think that I've learned there's no such thing as a dumb question. And, you know, sometimes we think that something is trivial, but it's not trivial because it's our life, and it's hard to figure these things out down here. Particularly relationships. I think relationships are one of the hardest things because really a relationship really is two universes coming together. You know, you're a universe. I'm a universe. It's that we carry all the frequencies in us, modulated according to our track, all the experiences we've had, getting from when we started as being nothing to here. We're on an evolutionary path, and we meet someone else, and they're on an evolutionary path, and we come together, and, you know, unless you're with somebody who, unless two people are together, who somewhat mirror each other's evolutionary path. It doesn't mean they're the same. They'll never be the same. And, of course, there's negative, there's feminine, and the masculine. But what I have learned is that when a person with a higher position in the matrix is getting together with someone else who's in a lower position in the matrix. And I mean, that's not an evaluation. It's very hard to figure that out sometimes because women always think they're in a higher position in the matrix. But, I'm going to get some emails for that. All right. But, you know, it's like if someone is in a higher position in the matrix, the higher can always go into the lower and match it. But the lower can't go into the higher because it doesn't have the experience. And so it's okay for the higher to go in to the lower, but it really helps when the other person knows they're learning something from you. Otherwise, they will try to make you familiar and match them in their matrix. And then you try to have a relationship, and it feels like you're not there, like you're playing out something. You're doing something because you're getting something out of it. You know, there's some benefit. You're getting money or you're getting sex or something. But the real part of you is not there. And they don't get it. And no matter how hard you try, unless they got it, unless, when I say they don't get it, you know, if somebody in a lower matrix, however vocabulary they define it to themselves, recognize they're with someone that's got a more expanded matrix than them, then they will learn from that person, and usually they won't try to trap them in their matrix. But if they don't know that, if they haven't recognized that, and you can't tell them, they got to get it. It's like if you try to tell somebody that, they'll think you're on an ego trip, and it'll go worse before it gets better, if it ever does. But some people get it. Some people sense it, however they do. And then if you're in a relationship with that person, it might work because they acknowledge where the energy is flowing. It's kind of like, let's take a good example. The Elohim is in a higher matrix than us. And most of us that are coming to these calls and keep listening know that, right? But imagine if somebody came into the call and said, treated them like they were contracted, okay? Why don't you guys learn how to make dinner? My God, just because you're in energy bodies, does that mean I have to make my own dinner? Of course, you don't eat dinner, so I don't have to serve you dinner. One of the things is like talking to them like they're one of us. And I think we all recognize they're not one of us. But we don't disempower ourselves by acknowledging that. We learn from them. I learn from them. And so in this realm, if somebody has a higher matrix, the person in the lower matrix can learn from it as long as they have figured it out. But if they don't know that, because they have to be at least wise enough to figure it out, they'll learn something. But if they don't know that, they won't learn anything, and they'll just always fight with you. Or, it'll be a conflict. So this is where you have to learn how to discern, and sometimes you can't figure that out right away. So in relationships, it's good to have a courtship for a while so everyone can figure out if they really understand each other.
Because... Wait a second. I'm putting him... Wait.
Hello, I'm back. If someone, I didn't finish my point, my headset screwing up.
Okay. I'm okay.
If you have intimacy with someone before you figure out this level of mutual respect, it can screw up the process. Maybe not necessarily, but it can, because when you do that, you totally move into each other's energy fields, and the universes get combined, and if you haven't worked this other thing out, then sometimes it gets frozen, and I've done this, so I understand the process. You would compromise your higher matrix because you really like having sex with somebody, and then that it works for about 4 to 6 months if you're lucky, and then it starts to screw up because the underlying patterns come forth, and the person with the higher matrix, and it could be the woman or the man, of course, the person with the more expanded matrix has to then honor the reality system of the person with the more contracted matrix, because the other person can't do it. They can't sense the more expanded matrix. And that's when you get trapped, and it gets really hard to get out of it. And sometimes, you'll end up with a person that if you were going to leave them was going to be really hurt, they're going to commit suicide. Now you can't leave. You can't even say, this isn't working for me, because you now have all that to deal with. It's good to discover that before you jump in and exchange really big energies, because then you can decide if it's really going to work or not. And on that note, we do have questions for tonight. I better shut up. Terry?
Yeah.
I'm just checking. You're unmuted. All right. Well, let's see if there's any last minute questions. Okay.
Okay.
Eric Sofold sent a good question. And
calling the light.
I'm not going to ask it yet. I'm just before I call in the light, I'm just looking to see for some last minute questions. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the light of the one infinite creator for the 21st of January, 2015. And we are honored to be with you and each and every one of you who wishes to be touched or connected with. And we are available to answer questions. We do not come to the telephone line. We do not come through the computer. We come directly. It is only the voice that comes over the media. But we are here with you. Do you have questions?
Thank you. You know, I would like to ask a question about what Terry and I were talking about earlier. And the Elohim, when we've talked about this, have explained how the beginning of the universe had to do with spinning. And there's a lot more questions I could formulate about spinning, but I'll do that on a Monday night. But spinning is obviously frequency, because something has a rate of spinning, and that would be its frequency. And that we've asked a lot of questions about that. And over time, it's come up that there is such a thing as a reverse spin, and that there are people that use the word spin, say in Merkaba meditations, Sufis even spin. You know, they use spinning in their dancing to bring in frequencies, and it's come up that there is such a thing as a reverse spin, which is not taking the energy back to source. It's kind of taking, hijacking energy, if that's the correct word, and taking it to some place where someone hijacks it and harvests it. And so this idea of reverse spin was, you know, I never thought about it deeply until yesterday, when the idea of reverse spin came up on some website that I was on, where they were saying the grays are attracted to reverse spin things. And, you know, for those of you listening, this idea of spinning energy is connects with a vortex, i.e., it's a way, maybe it's similar to a black hole. We asked about that last week. But some of you on our calls can feel energy coming in through your crown chakra that goes really, feels like it goes really high. And it's a very inclusive energy because everything else seems to fit into it. And my idea is that I was contemplating that the reverse spin is not an inclusive energy. It includes a smaller part of the matrix, and that our work is doing a positive spin and includes everything, but a reverse spin vortex, somebody that is connected, let's say you connect with a group that has a reverse spin vortex attached to it, then that group would feel disconnected from us. Whereas if they had a positive spin, clockwise spin, in other words, they would feel connected, or a person would feel connected. And that I want to see if I'm on track. That's not the Elohim, that's me. And I want to see if I'm on track with those ideas or if I can have some clarification on it. Thank you.
Thank you. We start with an incident that happened and tell you a little more about it. And there was a philosopher named Gurdjieff, and he used to go to watch the Sufis dance. And he would spend hours and hours and hours just watching the Sufis spin in their dancing and in different formations, the different dancers. And other people that were with him couldn't understand what his fascination was with the spinning of the dancers, of the Sufi dancers. Well, then Gurdjieff eventually passed away after writing some books and founding his philosophy and training a number of people and making his mark in the world. Well, there was the time that Terry broke her hip, and the doctors in 1991 said it was dead and it was going to disintegrate, and there was nothing can be done except to give her a implanted hip. So Terry was asking the Council of Light, which is a group of individuals on the other side that have come through to various people in the past. And she asked if her hip could be healed without the surgery. They said that they would. Then Terry was in terrible pain and in bed, and she noticed the entity of Gurdjieff in the corner. He was about 6 feet long, and he was floating in the room. And he was black in color. And Terry said, "I better cheer him up. He's black. He looks like he is in a really bad mood." And then Gurdjieff came over. Terry was unable to run gold energy through him and tried to cheer him up. But he came over and he was next to Terry. And he said, "Could he enter Terry's body?" And Terry said, "No." And then he did a very unusual thing, which is has a lot of wisdom and knowledge about how things work and how life is formed. He lay in the air next to Terry, and he said he would try to heal her hip anyway from the outside. And he made spinning energies equidistant in her hip, white light that was spinning, and there were about 6 to 8 spinning sensors that he inserted those spinningnesses into her hip, and her hip came back to life. So what Gurdjieff was doing in watching the Sufi dancers was seeing how the spinning energies affected the strength and the bodies of the Sufi dancers. Now, there's a book that has been written about spinning to increase one's youthfulness. If you spin in the positive clockwise direction, it will strengthen the body, and the body will tighten up, and the chakras will work better and will come into harmony, and the person will get younger if they keep this up day by day, spinning perhaps 100 times in the clockwise direction. If they spin in the counterclockwise direction, it will have the reverse effect. It will disintegrate the connections within the body, and the body will get older. So the spinningness is involved with the creation of consciousness, the creation of life. And you are in a spinning universe. You are in the galaxy, which is spinning. You are in the solar system, which is spinning. You are on Earth, which is also rotating. The rotation, the spinningness, is very important to life. And there are groups out there that would use negative spins to, although the people wouldn't realize it, they wouldn't feel quite so good when they were in the negative spin. And their chakras would be affected by the negative spin, and their chakras would have to work harder to go, keep going in the clockwise direction to overcome the negative counterclockwise direction in the environment. This is one subconscious. As people are not aware of it, it is such a subliminal thing. It is how their welfare and their attitudes and their vibrations can be affected by negativity without them knowing.
Thank you. You know, I'm going to do a Monday call on this because I can ask loads of questions. But one question, just to finish this topic today, is that we talked about a person spinning, and I assume you mean a clockwise direction, just spinning, standing around.
The person's chakras are spinning, and in the example we cited, we were citing the example of an individual spinning perhaps 100 times. In a clockwise direction, which will increase his health.
Now, suppose a person is like at work or someplace where they can't get up and spin without getting arrested for being crazy. You know, there are people that talk about spinning your field, and oftentimes they teach people to spin it in counterclockwise, which is negative. But if someone is sitting or standing in a location and they just start imagining their field spinning clockwise around them, just imagine like nothingness is spinning around you, would that have a positive impact?
that would. However, individuals could do it when they get up in the morning or before they go to bed at night. And as long as they did it in a clockwise direction, it wouldn't matter when they did it.
Mm-hmm. And how about if somebody was not well and they were stuck in bed? Could they do it like Amy? Like, let's imagine your heart is trying to open up. Could you imagine a vortex, spinning vortex around your heart, going in a clockwise direction, and it might bring healing?
We take a look at the body as a whole, and if the person is imagining it spinning, but the body is stationary, it may be a very localized effect. It is.
So it's better to spin around the whole body.
That's correct.
And that gets the chakra spinning and helps open up everything. Yes?
Yes, and the chakras generally spin in a clockwise direction unless they're clearing mm-hmm. something, which they might then move into a negative spin for a short while.
Yeah.
If you have a chakra that is spinning consistently, critically, for long periods of time, the counterclockwise direction, it can be detrimental to the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go with our questions tonight. Thank you. We'll take this up because it's a very interesting topic. And it might have ways that we can apply technique, God forbid, to our work to help lift our vibrations when we need to. And if anyone tries that, get back to me. Let me know what happens. Eric Sofield says, how do we discover our purpose this time around in this realm as a returning old soul? Now, Eric, I want to make a comment. Inherent in your question, inherent is a semi-disempowerment, because it says our purpose. It's like our purpose, sometimes we come into this realm and we had a plan of what we wanted to accomplish. But you know what? I don't think you're bound to that plan because you never know what's going to show up, who you're going to meet, what kind of growth you have, and what new possibilities exist. And when you say our purpose, it kind of sounds like the same thing, that at the highest level, as I see it, if you get into higher levels, you have to create your purpose. You have to create a way that you're important to other people, I think. Maybe not. Yeah, I think so. Because that creates a purpose. As soon as you're important to someone else, you have a purpose. And then you have to figure out the most effective way you can be of value to someone else and the most people, and the purpose unfolds. But that doesn't mean you don't have talents, because you may have a multitude of talents that you've built up in past lifetimes. And it's like at different times in your life, at one point in my life, I said, I'm a really talented singer-songwriter, and that's the highest thing I can think of doing, and that's why I did it. And now it feels like I can still do that. I might do it. I might enjoy it. But this is more expansive than that for me. So, things change and shift according to the way things evolve. And that's my take on that question, and I'll turn it over to our sources. And thanks for letting me put my two cents in.
Thank you. When you take a look at the activities that you are involved in and your interaction with others and your desire to have a harmonious experience with each person that you meet, and to make them comfortable, and to help them out and have a good interaction, you begin to see what your purpose is. And you are working at successful interactions in your everyday life. And it is generally true that whatever one finds themselves in the middle of has a great deal to do with their purpose and the working through of the everyday things that they're coming in contact with has a lot to do with their purpose and their alignment with their purpose. When one is on the other side and they congeal in their thoughts, the purpose, what they want to achieve in a lifetime, and then they come into the third density, then it is their intention and their life plan that will bring them into situations that they can then use to help them resolve the things that they wished within their own personality, within their group, within their family, the situation. It is very important that most of the people are immersed in what it is that they wish to achieve. And individuals may think that there's some other purpose that they are seeking, which can be a subsidiary purpose. However, what one finds themselves in is at the heart of the things that they wish to achieve normally. So wherever one finds themselves, the daily things that you interact with the other people, with your desire to help each individual in their little things that they are working through, where to be, what to do with their stuff. This is building your strength in areas that you wish to build, and you are learning about people and their responses and getting the harmonious interactions fine-tuned. And we love you.
Thank you. I have a question here. This was my topic question for tonight from Shirley, and Shirley Ottenweiler. And you know what? I just looked, and Shirley did not tell me her city. Hi, you know Shirley? I know. I've gotten emails from her. I'll read the question, and if you can't answer it because we don't know the city, we'll just quickly skip to another question. Since my recent move to an old historical apartment and a different bed, I have had a visitor. It feels like it is crawling on my bed at night. Although it does not feel malevolent, my cat refuses to sleep with me when I feel this presence, and it does leave upon request. Is it positive or negative? If you could help shed light on this matter, I would be very grateful. Thank you.
Is it possible to be Shirley from Columbus?
Thank you.
Shirley from Columbus? Okay.
We look at the room, and we look at the building, and we look at the history, and we see that there is an entity. It is not always in your room, but it did live in your room in the 1800s. We see that the entity got quite old, and the entity got quite used to the space. And the entity thought of it as home and is quite perplexed by its situation. We see it is a man, and he is perplexed. And there was a woman there also, but he misses the woman. And there was, it was home to this man, and he thinks of it as his space, as his home. And we take a moment, and as he notices us, he does not want to leave the space. He's a person that has lost his body, and he just is thinking of it as home and familiar, and a place where he feels good, and he is quite perplexed by your presence there. We take a moment, and he is perplexed by our presence and a little bit irritated by the attention on him, as he simply wants to sit in his chair and smoke his pipe and to relax and look at the daily paper and have some dinner. That's where he felt home and the most comfortable. And now things that interrupt that good feeling, he feels disturbed. Like, don't bring me out of my good feeling here. He is in the zone of feelings and timeline where he lived before, and he's we're talking slowly because we're sending him different energy streams and beams, but he's not open at that point to them. He merely wants to take off his slippers and read the paper and to have some dinner. We will think about on this. We will think up on this, as that is the situation which you have come into. Now, you can see what to do. You will, provided the circumstances which you have encountered. Surely.
Thank you. We'll ask Peter's question. Peter is in Woodland Hills, and I have been dating someone for about 6 months, and so far she doesn't have strong feelings for me. But she has repeated many times that she would like to have a life together with me. Any chance I can get help from our sources in determining if it's the right person for me? Hope it's not a good, dumb question. Blessings, Peter.
Thank you. You might enter into a series of conversations with her, and see what her motivations are. If her motivations are for security and society acceptance, and the security of how it is felt that women are successful when they have a husband and a family. This can be a good impetus, a good basis, but if it is all that it is, and that extra added spark might not be there, but if the emphasis of her and to sit and talk with her about what are her desires, what are her thoughts about having a family, what are her feelings towards a house, how does she feel with her girlfriend, how does she feel about the role of a wife, about the role of a mother, just to get her talking and see where she was at, so that the relationship isn't one of setting herself up for the role that she wants, but the role doesn't elevate the husband to the point where it is very important. Like, if when she says she would like to spend her life with you, is that because she is enjoying the relationship, enjoying the conversation? Is she getting fulfillment from the relationship? Or is it the idea of house and home and family and a place to fit in? In other words, you need more information. And this is when you're speaking of her or to her, you can see, project things she says into the future, how things would look to her into the future if she and you were married. See what more information you can get. Do you have good times? Do you have joy together? Do you share jokes? Do you share the same ideals of family? Do you politically see things in a similar way or not? Will it bring you closer in your conversations with her? It is not saying that you should both be of the same party, the political party should be the same. That's not it. But because there can be huge differences between couples that are making it, and they can get into huge fights to get their point across, but it shows passion if something like that is going on. It shows passion and fervor over something, and it shows the honoring of the other person, even if there is a fight, to even try to get something across. We hope that this can help you to communicate more, and even go on some trial dates so picnic or just a outing. Where does it get boring for her or you or the things that you are excited about, maybe going to a movie, does she get excited or want to go? Or there can be huge complex differences, too, between couples and naked. Like one might want to stay home all the time and one might want to go off and do shows like Dolly Parton and her husband. They're quite divergent, but yet it is working in its way. So I think that spark, that caring beyond home and family, but the caring for you. See how deep that goes. Thank you.
Thank you. We got about 2 minutes. I want to apologize. We just don't have time for doing everyone's question. And Kim, I got your question. And Rich, I got your question. And Rich, you're going to make me write a book with your questions. And I got the question about the Emerald Tablets. Please ask them again next week, okay? Emerald Tablets, so to my knowledge, was one of the Anunnaki. But I don't want to go any more than that. Okay. Ron in New Mexico, I haven't been here to ask questions for some time. I'm back at the feet of Elohim and Ra source energy for this one. Let me say that I see our higher self energy is always available for us to tune into for guidance, insight, ideas. But I will use the term intuition here to mean that part of our awareness that wishes to be open and guided by our higher self and all we are connected to. I see that we are the artist's brush for the higher self. My question is this. How can we learn to tap into our intuitions when making life decisions and know we are 100% aligned with our higher self and that we are moving and taking action with our heart and with intention for the highest good for all concerned? Is there a technique, a method, or a process that can be shared with us? Thank you. We have about two minutes.
Thank you. There is a lower self, and there is a higher self. And if it is a lower self that is taking over and taking the direction, and the higher self is not aligned with it. One way you can tell is to see the location of the thought within your body, within your space. Your higher self is more outside of your body, and the lower self can be in various parts of your body, and it can show, like, let's say it was a thought, and the thought was detrimental, and the higher self knows, okay, this is a detrimental thought. Now, then one can look at the location within their body. What space did that idea take up? Was it on the right side, on the left side? Was it all over the chest? Was it in the head? Or was it coming from a higher position, like the higher self comes from? Is it all radiating through the space? And then, if it is all radiating through the space, does it make sense? For instance, if a part of the lower self would come up with something detrimental, and then you look at it and say, well, it's not taking a pulse because it's not radiating through me from my higher self. And not only that, but what is the quality of the idea? And is the higher self resonating with the idea, or is it saying, wow, that's sure a bad idea? So observation can bring you home to your higher self. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That will be it for tonight.
Did you go somewhere? Hello?
Oh, Terry?
Yes.
Hello? I'm back. Sorry. Okay. I knocked myself off. Okay.
Right.
Thank our sources for being here. Thank Terry. Thank all of you. And thank Hive for being, as usual, great master of ceremonies producer. And let me unmute you all, and we'll see you. Hang on a second. Here's the unmute button.
All callers are unmuted.
Happy dreams, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll
have
you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Great
to see you around.
Hey, thanks, Wayne. Terry, peace.
That's lovely.
What's happened?
Really awesome.
Your conference recording has stopped.